Hi, this is Chelsea Vale. You have found the Whole Heart Podcast, a podcast for conscious parents who want to do things differently. Parenting the Whole Heart Way is about love, connection, play, and raising our children naturally. It can get, at times, a little bit crunchy. Let's jump in. Let's talk about screen time. This is a hot topic when it comes to anything parenting or education related, right? Everybody always poses the question, how much screen time is enough for my kids? And before we get started, I'm going to be honest with you and let you know, I have failed at introducing screens to my kids. I have failed at too much screen time. I have failed in many ways of showing them something on my phone rather than, you know, going to the library and getting a book to teach them about it or modeling, right? I am just as guilty as many of you, but it is something that I also am very passionate about, right? There are things that we can be passionate about, but we still struggle with and we still fail at from time to time. And screens is something that I struggle with. And I think that it's important to let you know, what the research shows, what's recommended, why we should avoid screens, or at the very least decrease screen time in our homes, how to do that. And then also, the many benefits of doing other activities. So there's going to be a lot covered in this session. And, I wanted to start out with like full disclosure that I fail at this so that you don't feel like, okay, this episode's not for me. We totally watch TV in our home, you know. So let me backtrack. Let me just talk about the AAP recommended dosage of screen, if you will. American Academy of Pediatrics says no screen time before the age of two. That is something that we definitely stuck by. Hand of the Bible, no screens. Not until they were about 20, 22 months, something like that, did they get a little bit of like Animal Planet. And we did do Moana. Moana was like my saving grace at that time, but that was it. And the reason that we do zero screen time from age, you know, zero to two is because, believe it or not, that is the most crucial time for brain development. Einstein says that a human infant is born with more neurons in their brain than there are stars in the galaxy. And that basically means that every child is born with this huge, like massive neurons, right? And we need to fire and rewire those neurons, build the brain, strengthen the corpus callosum, send these neurons back and forth, crossing the midline, which is when your child is playing with a ball, they're stretching, they're bending, they're crawling, they're walking, they're jumping, they're all of those things, rich sensory play with Play-Doh and clay and beeswax and colors and outdoors. I mean, how many of you can remember laying your baby on a blanket outside and they're just like, whoa, wow, this is like trippy. Look at all these beautiful, colorful flowers, right? So what's happening right there is firing and rewiring the brain to ready for abstract shapes, colors, sounds, feels, all of those senses. Rudolf Steiner actually says we don't have five senses. We have more like 12. And those 12 senses I will dive into in like a whole other episode. But if we are putting screens in front of our children, we are really only allowing like two senses to be excited and used. And that's visual and auditory. Wah, wah, wah. Like that's not what we want, right? We want to be firing and rewiring all of the neurons and providing our kids with rich sensory experiences very early on. Many of you were like, okay, well, my baby watched, you know, Baby Einstein. That can't be bad. It is. Too much of that, or if it was like every day, an hour here, an hour there, you go to, you know, some restaurant and they've got an iPad on the table, not good. When you're driving and you put on the TV, not good. Your kiddo should be looking out the car, looking at other cars passing, looking at nature, trying to read signs, seeing letters and print and numbers, perhaps coloring in the car, looking at a book. plenty of things that you could be doing in those car rides, even when they're really long. Hell, download Sparkle Stories or, you know, listen to a book on tape. You can utilize YouTube in the car if you can find like a really cool classic story being read aloud. Just don't show your kids the screen, right? But allow them to listen and be looking out and forming their own connections in their brain. One of my absolute favorite things to do with my kids in the car is I spy, right? As soon as we get in the car, I hand them a book, I turn on beautiful music, or we start looking out the window and pointing out the beautiful things that we see and observe. I hear some of you saying, well, you know, we only do Leapfrog, right? We only do the educational programs. We only do, you know, I can't even think of another like ABC Mouse or iStation or some sort of like air quote educational thing, right? Educational TV isn't a thing. Educational toy isn't a thing. Educational video game, sorry to repeat myself, it isn't a thing. There is no screen time that is quote educational. And then, you know, I hear you. I hear you going, yeah, but my kids learn stuff. That's totally cool. They're going to learn stuff every day, all day. They learn things when they're playing outside. They learn things when they're cooking with you. They learn when they're coloring and cutting and using beeswax, when they're knitting, when they're doing puzzles, they're learning, okay? So the reason I say that those things, those screens or those devices are not educational, like that's totally not a thing, because it is limited education. The programmer of the device or of the app or show is teaching your child to remember XYZ, right? It's A equals B, okay? So that's not educational. That is limiting. That is actually hindering your child's education, okay? A child learns much more. And I love to use this example when I teach some workshops. I always use the example of a pig. I know I could probably think of something else, but this is just one that I'm familiar with. So you send a child or you show a picture of a pig to a child and you say, this is a pig. The pig is pink. The pig says, oink, the pig lives on a farm, okay? That is all your child will know about a pig, okay? However, you can take your child to a farm and show them a pig. Let them hear the pig, listen to the pig, smell the pig, touch the pig, play with the pig. All of those different sensories, those 12 senses are all ignited. They're having something going on in their gut, right? They're having things going on in their brain. They're having things going on with all of their physical senses, their mental or their emotional. They're getting really involved with the pig and they're learning. That's educational. If we give our children screens and apps and videos, we are limiting their understanding of specific topics to whatever the programmer or producer decided your child needed to know. I would much rather my child learn about nature by being in nature and forming their own conclusions. You'll even hear me with my kids sometimes. We could be at a park and they go, you know, why does the sun only come up during the day? I mean, I want to go, I don't fucking know, right? Like, I want to say that because I'm like, I don't know, because it just does. We're so quick to answer our children's questions. But what I'll do instead is go, huh, you're curious about things. You're curious about the sun. That's a perfect response. And then I let them wonder. It is totally okay, if not even more beneficial, to let the kids wonder. But what I see a lot of other parents do is they go, oh, I don't know the answer to that question. Let's look it up. And then they give this like really lengthy, crazy explanation, or they find a video on YouTube and they go, here you go. This is for kids. This will teach you about the sun. Wah, wah, wah. What's more beneficial to our children's learning and development is to let them form their own conclusions. Let them wonder, let them explore, let them be curious about things and don't always feel like we have to have the answers, because if we give them the answers, we're hindering their development. We're giving them A equals B. This is the right answer, but there is beauty in curiosity. There is value in not knowing the answer. Think about the things that you learned growing up. They've all changed, okay? We no longer have all the planets that, I don't know how old you are, but you know, Pluto's no longer a planet, right? We don't have 4 food groups anymore. It's not recommended for you to have, what was it, like 6 to 11 servings of bread? Give me a fucking break. That was the way that we were told to eat when we were little. And at the very, very top might've been fats, right? But now basically take the food pyramid and flip it upside down and that's what's being recommended. So I use that example to show you that learning changes what we know about ourselves, the world, people, religion, all of that. It changes. And it changes because of people who are curious, who are inquisitive, who don't feel that they need to have all the answers or know all of the answers. They are the ones that are trying to find new answers. And when we give our children screens, we are limiting them to curiosity by teaching them only what the programmer wants them to learn. I can't really do any episode without talking about the Waldorf approach, right? Waldorf, Reggio Emilia, Piaget, Eric Erickson, all these different theorists and scientists that I love to read their lectures, I love to listen to. They all say very similar things when it comes to TV and screen time or whatever. Steiner, of course, being a scientist in what, 1921 or something like that, there wasn't really TV, okay? So some people will say, well, it doesn't really matter what Waldorf, you know, said, but he does make a really good point that when we give children images, we prevent them from coming up with their own images. So he was like light years ahead of his time, okay? Imagine if you show a child a picture. Let's say I'm a classroom teacher and I draw a picture of a farm, right? And I've got a barn and I've got a silo and I've got some animals and I've got some grass and I've got the sky and it's touching the, you know, very bottom of the top of my land because I want children to learn about perception and yada, 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 yada. And I go, look at mine. Isn't it beautiful? This is what we're going to do today. We're going to draw a picture of a farm. Well, then shit. Every single kid is going to try to do exactly what the teacher just showed, right? Far more beneficial to the kids to hand them paper, blank paper, a box of crayons, and go, show me what you can do. Create a world. Create a dreamland. Create a space galaxy. Create a place where any animal can live, right? If you had a zoo, what kind of zoo would it be? That's where imagination happens. We don't want to put images in the children's mind. We want to have their images. Their imagination is so much better than ours, right? And then we fall into the trap of when our kid does art, we go, that's beautiful. And we try to name it, right? We go, oh, looks like you drew a bird. And then we'll come to find out it wasn't a bird. It was some like, you know, alien creature that has bombs coming out of its wings or like whatever, right? But if we label it before they've told us what it was, then, well, then we've limited it. Far better to go, whoa, you worked really hard on that. Tell me about your picture. Because we want the images that are in their minds, okay? And when we do too much screens and TV and iPads and apps, we limit their imagination because we've given them images. We've given them the image, okay, a cow is black and white. And then every time they draw a cow, it's black and white. We've given them the image of like a dinosaur and a dinosaur lives in this area. And they've seen that and they've learned that and they've memorized that. We limit the brain because maybe they don't want dinosaurs to live there. Maybe dinosaurs are taking over Manhattan. Maybe dinosaurs are in a spaceship and they're flying to the moon, right? We don't want kids to become so literal and so this is this and this is how this looks and this is what color and this is what sound and this is all of the things that we think are quote unquote educational TV or educational app is teaching our children. We're limiting their development. Throw all of that away. Stop using coloring books. When you use coloring books, you have a drawing that somebody else came up with for your kid to color it. You're basically giving your child the message, you don't know how to come up with something. You don't know how to draw. All you know how to do is fill in blanks and stay in the lines. That's limiting. Blank paper is beautiful. A chunk of clay to model, beautiful. Different colored beeswax, yarn, googly eyes, pom-poms, puzzles, wood scraps. I mean, I can go on and on and on about the many benefits of loose parts for their play, things that are not defined. That's a whole other thing. That's open-ended play. That we've been in that topic before. But having items that are open-ended for them to play with and explore expands their imagination and causes those neurons to fire and rewire and build bridges in the brain, build that brain and strengthen it for imagination and being abstract, okay? It's beautiful. And think of all of the things that your children can be doing when they're not on a screen. Think about how much more excited their imagination is going to be when you're not allowing a programmer to decide what they get to hear, what they get to see, what they get to learn. You get to gain control again when you take the TV out, the iPads, the devices, the phone, the whatever else. And it's kind of hard to decrease if you're already doing that in your home. So I'm going to tell you some of the things that we do in our home when we found ourselves kind of slipping into a little bit of a rut for screen time when, you know, maybe mom needed a little bit more sleep or maybe mom wanted to, you know, have an uninterrupted Zoom call during the pandemic. And I'll tell you kind of how I approach this topic with my kids to get them to understand why we don't do screens in our home. Or I should say why we decrease screen time in our home. So now that my kids are 5, they are going to be attending the Waldorf school here in Austin, and pretty much anywhere that we live in our lives, I'm gonna be finding a Waldorf school for them. I'm just so passionate about it and I love it. The Waldorf here requires you to sign a no screen clause or contract or whatever. And they understand there are going to be some times your kid's going to go to a movie. I mean, there's going to be like a super rainy day where you watch something together as a family. I mean, come on. But we are decreasing it. So I introduced this to my kids by saying, hey guys, the school you're about to go to really values imagination. And you can fill in the blank there, the camp, or, you know, in our family, we value imagination. In our family, we value play. Always focus on what we can do, what we can experience, not what we can't. Kids don't want to hear no, don't, stop, can't, won't, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So we introduced it as, hey guys, in our family, we value imagination. We love to play. What are the kinds of things that we like to do? We love puzzles. We love coloring. We love building. We love knitting. We love painting toys. Those are all the things that we love in our family. Sometimes TV can be distracting, right? Oh gosh, I know I feel so much better after I've read a story than I, you know, when I've watched a movie. I do like movies sometimes, but man, I really love to color and create, right? So just to help our brains feel better, I'm gonna put the remote away. You know, maybe we'll just save the TV for those really special times where there's a movie that we want to watch together as a family, right? So in my house, we have family movie night. Might be once a week, might be twice a week, mostly once. I mean, I'm trying to decrease things the best that I can. But my kids are definitely not coming home from school, clicking on the TV. They're getting up in the morning. They are stealing my computer and trying to find YouTube. I'm not going to lie. That's going to have to go away. I'm hiding it because they find it before I get up. But it is something that we are decreasing, and I always will turn it off. And I go, we're a family that loves to play. What could you find to play with this morning? And sometimes there's a little bit of a fight. Sometimes there's not. You know, what I also do is I leave little things on the table for them. You've heard me talk about that before. I'll create like a play world. I'll have a nature table. I may have a stack of books. I put some things out for them in the morning so that if they get up before me, they've got something really fun to do and explore. I love Camden Rose toys. You can order them on Palumba.com. They're Waldorf inspired, open-ended toys. I love Montessori. I love art. If your child is young, I mean, please don't put out paint and markers. put out crayons, put out colored pencils, maybe put out some Play-Doh. But you're probably still getting up with your child if they're that young. But, you know, my boys are 5, so they're fairly independent in the morning. And I fell into the trap of having the TV on in the morning just so I could get an extra hour of sleep while they, you know, played or watched TV independently. And that was mostly during the pandemic. And then, you know, when things got back to normal, I went, I did exactly what I want every parent to stop doing, which is using the TV as a crutch. Another thing that's really important, traveling, right? Don't do the iPads if you can help it. Pack a little travel bag, pack things that you can give to your kids very easily in the car. Listen to audio tapes, listen to books. There's a lot of other things that you can be doing in the car. We've got Magna Doodles, we've got pop-up books, we've got iSpy, there's all sorts of things. So try not to use TV as a crutch. I'm also kind of an asshole in public, I'm not gonna lie. I don't really like allow my kids to go into places where there's like a ton of like, you know, screens and computers and all of that. But for whatever reason, I keep going into these play places that are designed for play. And lo and behold, there's a fucking iPad sitting out that the kids want. Even at the library, for Christ's sake, there's a computer with, quote, educational games. So what I do is when I know I'm going to one of those places, I go, hey guys, you're going to see one of those like sneaky devices that's bad for your brain. And remember, we're not a family that plays with those. We came to the library to look at books. What do we come to do? And they go, look at books. You know, and I'm like, we're going to say no to the TV because we're better than that. I teach my kids to be snobs about their well-being, right? We're snobs about our food. We don't eat things that are bad for our bodies. We're snobs about our friends. We don't hang out with people that make us feel bad about ourselves or make others feel bad. We're snobs about animals. We keep animals safe. Why can't we be snobs about devices? I am perfectly comfortable telling a mom, we don't do TV in our home. We try to decrease it. At the haircut place, would you mind turning the TV off? He's happy to sit there and have a conversation with you. I remember telling my mother that we were going to decrease the TV again now that they were starting camp and they were doing Waldorf. And she goes, ooh, that's going to be a hard habit to break. And it's not really. I mean, they might have like an hour in the morning before school and like an hour after their nap so that they're not complete, you know, booty heads when they wake up and they're all like fussy and cranky. So I was using TV that way and I was like, not really. And she said, what are you going to do? I said, put it away. Like it didn't even like occur to me that it was going to be like an issue. And it really wasn't. Okay. Now I understand a lot of kids are different, but if there's backlash, it's temporary. Always ask yourself like 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, right? So is this going to matter in 5 minutes? Probably your kid's still going to be an asshole 5 minutes after you turn the TV off. They just are. Okay. But will it matter in 5 hours? No. Will it matter in 5 days? No. They're not likely to remember. Will it matter in 5 months? No. No. Will it matter in 5 years? If you don't turn off the screens, absolutely. This is a long-term play. Okay. Other people are going to have TV. Other people are going to have movies. Other people are going to have screens and devices. Your kids are going to have to deal with kids that talk about their devices all the time. Teach your children the tools they need to be countercultural, to live outside the box and to think differently, to feel differently, and to be able to stand up for themselves. We're not raising victims here, okay? We're raising kids that are responsible, can speak up for themselves, but they need the tools. So when a child is talking about a game that they don't know, it's fine for them to say, I don't really know that game. I don't have an iPad at my house, but you know what I do have? I have puzzles. Do you like puzzles? And maybe the kid's like, no, I kind of only like being on my iPad. Oh, well, that's a bummer. You seem like a really cool person. I'm going to go play on the swings. Totally acceptable. Not rude. That is a fantastic way to answer something like that. When they're going over to a friend's house and the kid says, hey, I'm going to go watch TV. Teach your child to say, oh, what a bummer. I don't really like TV. I came over here to play with you. What kind of toys do you have? Can you show me some of your toys? That is a perfectly normal conversation for a child to have, okay? I teach my kids to say no to certain foods that somebody wants to put in their body. Even when it's their father, I tell them to tell their dad, Dad, I need food with everything that I eat. Dad, I don't like pizza. It makes my tummy hurt. Dad, I can't really have real ice cream because we don't do milk at our house. Like, I have to teach them those things. And it's important that we teach our kids how to do that when they're at school, when they're at playhouse or, you know, play dates, whatever. We got to give our kids the language to stand up for themselves and feel good about their choices and not be easily swayed. Because if they get swayed to watch TV and we say like, oh, we don't do it at our house, but it's totally okay when you do it at their house, we're basically teaching them, hey, we have a bunch of rules, but they don't mean a damn thing when you're not here. Not cool. They're rules and expectations because that is the kind of family that we are. And I want my kids to feel that way. Am I guilty of it? Hell yeah. We go to someone's house and I don't want to be an asshole and be like, hey, turn the TV off, right? But I do try to encourage my kids to do other things. Hey, we came here to play. Do you want to go outside? Hey, did you know that they have chickens? Y'all want to go see the chickens? Like, I try to do other things to distract them and encourage them to recognize when they feel best. I know they feel best when they play. I know they feel best when they color, when they draw, when they create, when they're outside. And so I comment on those things. You look so tired from playing football outside. Wow, you worked really hard on that art drawing. Can't wait to see what you create next. Look at that building you've done. Doesn't your imagination feel amazing right now? Those are the things that I do because I want to send them the message, you're better than a screen. You're worth more than screen. I am not going to use a device to parent you or babysit you. As hard as that is, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do my damnedest to try to fill your head with beautiful images, rich sensory experiences, and I'll be damned if I let a producer decide what my child knows and understands about the world. It is very important that we band together and that we speak up and that we recognize that childhood needs to be protected. Their innocence, their imagination, and their health, their well-being needs to be protected. And that comes from decreasing, reducing, doing away with screens. As hard as it can, as hard as it can be, we gotta do it, guys. Screen-free me. That's the message we want our kids to have. Please email me and let me know if you have any questions about today's episode. Chelsea@joinwholeheart.com. Please subscribe. Thank you for listening. Be well.